Have you ever experienced those days that brought unexpected surprises? Maybe there was good news that pleased you, or perhaps there might have been bad news that brought you disappointment. Unexpected success on the one hand, or frustrating failure on the other. Whatever, you learned that you could not always be sure of what tomorrow would bring. I remember reading the story of a man who was given one wish with absolute assurance that his wish would be granted. He thought and he thought about what he should wish. And then he came up with the idea, I'll ask for tomorrow's newspaper today. His wish was granted. He opened the paper and immediately he knew that he could make all of the right investments with his stocks. He would have sure things. He turned to the sports page and he saw that he could place all of the right bets on the races and on the games. He would have winners. But then he turned, as you might guess, to the obituary page, and there he found his name led all the rest. A fictitious story, of course. It could not happen that way. But it serves to remind us that we cannot count on tomorrow. There is no way that we can be sure of what it will bring. I'm sure that you, like I, could think of many interesting events that would bear out this truth. Indeed, those events that occur and are reported in the newspaper every day. I think of some I have known personally. He called his parents. It was the day before Christmas. He announced to them, "I'm on my way home now. I'll be there in plenty of time to take part in the Christmas program at church." But a few minutes later, the phone rang again and announced to his parents that their only son was dead of a tragic accident. She went to the doctor for a routine physical examination. She thought she was in perfect health. She came away knowing that she had a terminal illness. The plane cruised through the air carrying its passengers. They were a gay group, some on their way to a resort area, some on their way to business engagements that they anticipated would be successful, some on their way home from previous journeys. And then a crash, and all were dead. These kind of events and numerous others that all of us could recall affirm the fact that tomorrow is uncertain. Indeed, is it not true? It is a kind providence that has hidden tomorrow from our eyes. If we were robbed of hope, some of us would not want to face tomorrow at all. And others of us might want, if we knew what tomorrow would bring, to ignore today and rush on out to claim it. Always we stand in point of time between the past which has been and the future which may be, and the fleeting moment of the present passes. But that's the only time we have, for sure. How shall we use it? What shall we make of our past and our present and our future? How shall we indeed ponder the truth that James expressed and contemplate how we can put God into our tomorrows? It was the uncertainty of tomorrow that led James to express the counsel recorded in the scripture that was read today. Verse 13 sets the scene of confident planning for the future, and planning which James viewed as expressing an attitude of pride and arrogance. Verse 14 startles us with that question, "What is your life?" And the answer of James is that at best it is but brief, and it may disappear with suddenness. And verse 15 gives the corrective to the attitude of unfounded self-confidence. It points to the eternal God and to his providence and to the need that you and I have of always taking him into our reckonings. The formula, if God wills, for centuries was a common expression of Arabic origin. The Mohammedans derived it from the Syrians, who in turn probably had gotten it from the Greeks and passed it on to the Jews. And James picks it up and takes this pious saying of Hellenistic origin and appropriates it to a Christian truth. The truth that one needs willingness to depend and to trust upon God in whatever tomorrow brings. If you would talk about tomorrow, do it in the context of if God wills. The future is uncertain, therefore recognize your dependence upon God. Not only is the future uncertain where individual lives are concerned, the future is quite uncertain where institutions and social agencies and society as a whole would be concerned. The future is seldom as rosy as the experts would predict, and it's seldom as gloomy as the forecasters of doom would say. Indeed, now that we are nearer to 1984, it does not look quite as foreboding as it did when the book by that title was written. Last year, I had the opportunity of engaging in long-range planning for the United Way of Louisville. And I recall one afternoon meeting with a group of sociologists and urbanologists and demographers, and they were talking about what the 80s had in store for Louisville. And then I had the poor taste to ask a stupid question. I said, "What leads you to believe that your predictions for the 80s will be any more reliable than your predictions for the 70s. And since their predictions for the 70s hadn't been very reliable, they were embarrassed, and then so was I. But it's difficult to predict with any degree of certainty what the future holds in society. We can make some generalizations and say, yes, if indeed tomorrow comes, we can expect this and that in all likelihood. But in terms of specifics, it's very unreliable because of so many variables that exist within our culture. In reality, institutions and churches and schools like seminaries and we as individuals need to always take our lives up and project them into the future with caution and with awareness as to what the future may hold. If God wills. That theological phrase should be a part, I think, of the Christian lifestyle. Some time ago, I received a letter from someone in England in which he wrote of anticipated future appointments. And at the end, he inserted the letters DV. I then was reminded, as I called back to mind, the ancient custom, now almost obsolete, when some spiritually sensitive souls would make it a common practice to put DV at the bottom of such letters. Deo volenti, God willing. These things will come to pass, God willing. They would not make any plans that without that consciously expressed reservation. Now, while that practice is no longer common among us, the thought behind it is still very valid. We need to avoid, however, the falling into the theological error that many people do, I think, of ascribing all events, both good and bad, to the intention of God. Have you not known those individuals, maybe have you ever been among them, who, pondering some event, not being able to describe it, you simply then explained it by saying it's God's will? As if that gave the sole explanation that was necessary to trouble people. It is accurate to say that all events are within the will of God only if one means that God permits them by having created humanity with freedom and ability to act and choose. Evil events, murders, tragic disasters, accidents, these cannot be described to the willful actions of a God who is kind and merciful and just, but they can be ascribed to a God who created a social order, who created an environment in which the outcome of actions and interactions within a free universe brings some events to pass that we view as cruel. If the future is uncertain at best, shall one then even prepare for it? Well, the answer of the Bible to that one is yes. There is that passage, of course, in the Sermon on the Mount that says, take no thought for tomorrow. But then if you exegete it properly, you understand that what is being said is, do not be unduly anxious and troubled about tomorrow. Do not become so obsessed with it and your material needs that you anticipate will be there. Do not do that to the extent that you forget the providence of God. He who clothes the grass and feeds the birds can care for you, O ye of little faith. So not a ban on forethought, but a ban on anxiety and a challenge to exercise faith. Indeed, there are those scriptures that would remind us to plan for the future. Those parents who are told, train up a child in the way he should go, that he will remember and follow it through all of his life. Or that scripture that says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that on out there in the future will not have cause to be ashamed. Make your preparation. Engage in your education. Let your practice bring you greater skill and training. Prepare for your career. Give attention to your premarital plans. Yes, indeed, even plan for your retirement. All of that, yes, but, DV, God willing, let him be a part of my future. Shall we concern ourselves only with the present as we plan for the future? Well, not so. The past is important too, for in reality we always bring everything that's been behind us into the present, and it's there on the threshold of tomorrow. In a sense, we are the executioners of our future by the way we have lived in the past and the present. And so in a very real sense, we look at the past and learn from it. There are scriptures that tell us both to forget it, and there are other scriptures that tell us to remember it. And so you do need to do some forgetting. Forget those things which are behind that would shackle and bind you and box you in and keep you from being confident and keeping you from trying. Forget those things. Rise on to the higher ground as you make the effort to try God being your helper. Forget the past that would hold you back. I heard a college president when I was a freshman who said to a group of young men standing upon your father's shoulders, you ought to be able to see farther and to reach higher than they. And so we ought. With our past, with the advantages that we have, with the training that we have received, with those who have gone before us paving the way, we ought to be able to see farther and reach higher. With the seminary's 125 years of heritage, our best days ought to be before us, not behind us. And so we look at the past, and we do some forgetting, but we do some remembering. And the Bible says to the Israelites, remember when you were slaves in Egypt. God was there. He was your refuge and strength.
Remember Abraham, your father, his faith. Learn from it. Remember Noah and what did for him, what God did for him, and the sign he gave. Indeed, we turn to the New Testament, and the most beautiful and memorable one of all is the Lord's Supper. Do this in remembrance of me. Remembering what God has done through the incarnation and through the redemptive plan of the redemptive purpose of Christ. Forget the past, remember the past, but plan for the future, God willing. If we consciously try to place God into our tomorrows, should those tomorrows come, it will mean, I think, at least two things for us. And I would hope that you might agree and remember. If we try to put God into our tomorrows, I hope that it would mean that we trust God's providence and we shall try to have the faith that God will enable us to cope with whatever the future holds. His grace is sufficient. He provides strength and guidance and comfort. He provides the ability to accept success humbly, and he provides the ability to face the future without, to face failure without giving up. That kind of faith will bring quiet confidence that will enable a person to face the future without fear. It is a freeing up type of activity to where you do not believe necessarily that all of the future will be good for you in terms of actions occurring that will be pleasurable, but you have the faith to believe that whatever the future holds, you will know that God goes with you on the way, and his grace will always enable you to cope like a Christian. That's planning to put God into our tomorrows at the point of anchoring our faith in him. But there is a second thing that I would hope that putting God into our tomorrows might mean. I would hope that it will mean that if we shall allow God's will to become the guiding principle of our lives, that will give direction for tomorrow. I recall a Gallup poll of a few years ago where it was documented that the majority of persons who claim to have religious identifications did not admit to taking God into account when they made important decisions in their lives. Yes, I belong to a church. I am affiliated, but I don't really think about God when I make the big decisions of my life. Contrast that with that vacation Bible school motto that some of you remember. I was a teenage boy when I learned it. I lined up like all of the others out front on the lawn of the church, and we marched in behind the flags and the Bible. You've been there. We sat and heard our Bible stories and our character story, and we sang the hymns that by the end of school we had learned from memory. And then we stood and said our motto. Every day for 10 days I said, "Thy will be done, no matter where it leads, no matter what it costs." I took it for my own. I wanted, in my better moments, to truly live up to it. Now, I would not be foolish enough to tell you that I always have. There have been times when I haven't done God's will. There have been times when I didn't even seek to discover what it was. There have been times when I've left undone what I knew to be God's will because I didn't want to do it. But I am glad to say, quite honestly, that with the big decisions of my life, I have always tried to call back to mind, Thy will be done, no matter where it leads, and no matter what it costs. And it was in the context of that motive that brought me here from a pastorate where I didn't really want to leave, to a place where I felt God was leading. And it was that motive that has kept me here for a quarter of a century and continues to keep me here, because I have never felt that God was leading me away. Others will come and go, and they will do exactly as I have, trying to be guided by God's will. And we will not question the decisions of any person who lets that become a motif of his life. God's will is not always easily known. We may search for it and not be sure when we found it. But at least we who are Christians ought to will to know and ought to be open to receive. Our tomorrows? Let God walk with you to provide that unfailing support you need. And let God walk before you, that His will shall become your will, His way, your way. Lord, let it be. May we stand. God of the past and of the future, be with us, we pray. Indeed, take our lives and let them be consecrated wholly to Thee. Walk with us into our tomorrows, teaching us that all of our tomorrows must pass by You before they come to us, and giving to us the kind of strength and guidance and peace that shall enable us to go forth to claim Your will. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.